Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. That alone, you could spend a year there. He has made everything beautiful in its time. What's going on with you? Whatever it is, He's going to make it beautiful. God is the only one who can give that promise, and God does give that promise. You can't make that promise because you don't have the control to do it. Other people don't have control either. Circumstances, they don't have any intelligence. They just kind of happen. They can't give a promise. Nothing can give a promise like that but God. And God does make everything beautiful in its time. Does that mean that everything is good? No. It does mean that God makes it beautiful. For example, Joseph's brothers, who were not nice guys, yes, they were the patriarchs of Israel, but they were not nice guys in themselves. They were actually jerks. Now, nobody's responsible for the people that came before them, and I'm not saying that Israel is. Don't get me wrong. This is not anti-Israel. We're very pro-Israel, in fact. But the guys who really were Israel's sons, Joseph's brothers, were jerks. I mean, Joseph was the youngest brother at the time. Afterwards, they had one more, Benjamin. He was younger than Joseph. But at that time, Joseph was the youngest brother. And these guys threw him into a pit because they didn't like something he told them that God gave to him in a dream. And then they were going to kill him. And the one brother, Reuben, said, "Don't kill him." And that was really more out of compassion for their father, not so much out of love for Joseph. "Don't kill him. Let's send him to this roving band of Ishmaelites so he can be their slave." That was sweet. These guys were jerks. But God made it beautiful in this time. The fact that that happened in the end, and it took a lot of years. It took 3 decades. But the fact that that happened in the end meant that Israel survived this incredible famine that nobody knew was coming except God. So even that, when they meant it for a curse, and this is what Joseph said to them when he met them again as adults, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." Even when somebody means something for evil, God will mean it for good. God will allow it because He will make it beautiful in its time. Was it good that they put Joseph in slavery or that they threw him in the pit? No, of course not. But God turned it into something amazing. The worse it seems, the more beautiful it'll become. You take the worst situation in your life and God is going to make it into the most amazing blessing. It just takes time. So no matter what's going on, God will make it beautiful. Now, if it's a good situation, all the better. God will make everything beautiful in its time. And then He said also He set eternity in their heart. The heart speaks of your frame of reference. The frame of reference is the premise, the basis of all of your thinking. God, through His Word, will cause eternity to be the frame of reference from which you see everything. That means you're going to see it from God's perspective, from God's viewpoint. God doesn't think the way we do. He doesn't see like we see. We see in a very small way. God sees in a very complete way. God sees it all. We see just this tiny little speck of what is really out there. And God sees it and He says, "I'm going to put eternity, I'm going to give you my perspective in your frame of reference, because then you'll understand what I'm doing even though it's not an end yet, maybe it's just the beginning, but then you'll get it. Then you'll get, because you're looking from an eternal viewpoint, that the situation you're in is not about the situation. It's about the beautiful thing that's going to be made out of the situation. That's why circumstances, positive or negative, are allowed to exist. Because there's something beautiful that God is going to cause to come out of those circumstances. God will never let you down. Now, that's not always to say you're going to get what you want. Sometimes what I want is based on my sin nature. It's kind of a selfish thing. But sometimes if I have God as my frame of reference, it's not selfish, it's based on His nature. Those are the things He'll give me. Because the things that are based in my sin nature would harm me. The things that are based in God's nature will prosper me. And so God may not give me that Cadillac, but if I need a car, God will give me a car. He wants us to think with eternal viewpoint. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways." I can't figure out the plan of God. Every time in my life that I've tried to figure out the plan of God, every time in my life I thought, okay, this is how God's going to do it, I was so completely wrong. God's ways cannot be figured out because they are not human ways. God sees the beginning, God sees the end, and God sees every point in between. I see only now. And so God has so much greater understanding than I do. And not only that, that's just one thing. There's a billion things that God knows that I don't know. God is the one who made me. God is the one who made you. How do I know what's in your heart and how do you know what's in mine? You don't. You have no way of knowing it, but God knows it. This is one of the reasons why before you get married, young people, when the time comes, before you get married, you want to be sure it is the will of God. And if you're not sure, don't do it. Why? Because you don't know who you're marrying. Even if you've known them for years. You don't know what they're going to be like in the future. You don't know if something's going to change, if something's going to happen. There was a situation, it's a true story. This couple, they were in their mid or upper 20s, I don't remember now which, but they were a young couple, and they were engaged to be married, and the man got into a bad car accident. And the accident caused brain damage and he lost his eyesight. And the young lady broke off the engagement. And he was crushed. He was heartbroken. And he said to her, "Were you going to marry me for my eyesight?" And she said, "Apparently I was." She didn't even know that about herself. He didn't know that about her. You don't know what that person's going to be like in the future. God does. And so you want to make sure that the one who knows all things before they happen is the one who's telling you who to be with as a spouse, as a husband or a wife, and where you go, and all of these things, all these details, big or small, you want to make sure you check them out with God first, because God is the one who knows what's coming, and it's God's plan that you're walking in. You cannot figure out the plan of God. It's too big for us. I could not figure out the plan of God. It's too big for me. In Jeremiah 10:23, the way of a man is not in himself. We cannot order our own steps. We cannot figure it out on our own. This is why we need that eternal viewpoint. Because with an eternal viewpoint, I won't know the details, but I'll know that God has control over the details and there's a purpose in every detail. A way of a man is not in himself. It's not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. Well, God says that He directs our steps. We have to be careful that we never get to that place where we think, well, I can figure this out. Or I can make this call, I can make this decision, all by myself without God. God isn't going to block you from doing it, but you're not going to get blessed for going outside of God's will either. God will allow you to have what you go after, but it's going to be you that's doing it and you that's maintaining it. And eventually when it's us, it gets tiring. People say things like, well, this is complicated or this is so hard. Life is hard, they say. If life is hard, it's because you're the one who's doing it. If it's complicated, it's because you're the one who's trying to figure it out. Show me what's complicated to God. God knows absolutely everything. What's complicated to God? Think about how smart God is. God could figure out how to make a person or anything that's alive. But how complex is a person? I mean, think about all the stuff that goes into a human being. Just the very fact that you could hear my voice right now, that is an incredibly complex and, well, it's elegant, but also very sophisticated process. The engineering behind that is mind-boggling. Okay, you've got these wave compressions in the air. The way that you hear my voice right now is because as the air is leaving my voice box, the vocal cords are moving back and forth, causing certain wave compressions in the air. It's like waves in the air. They're called sound waves. Those sound waves hit your eardrum. It's called the tympanic membrane. And that eardrum moves back and forth, just the same way a regular drum would when you beat it. It kind of moves back and forth. That's not sound. That's just part of the process. Inside your ear, in the inner ear, in the cochlea, there's a liquid. As the eardrum goes back and forth, that liquid starts to move back and forth, and it moves these little cells called hair cells. They literally look like tiny little hairs on the walls of the canal there, and they move back and forth as the liquid moves back and forth, and that gets converted to an electrical impulse that it's picked up by the cochlear nerve, the nerve that goes from your ear to your brain, and the brain then interprets the impulse produced by the moving of the liquid, produced by the moving of the eardrum, produced by the compressions of waves in the air, and then it says, oh, I know what that means. How do you do that? I mean, how do you even come up with that? Who invents something like that? Well, God does. If I had a billion years, I would never dream of something like that. God thought of it in an instant. And that's just hearing. That's not even talking about putting the brain together. That's not even talking about how the nerves work. That's not even talking about how all of this stuff actually functions in itself. That's just what happened on the simplest level for you to hear something. God's ways, God's thoughts are not ours. God's ability to figure out is not ours. The way of a man is not in himself. How can I, as a human being who's been designed in a mind-boggling manner, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible tells us, how in the world can we order our steps when we have that kind of a God making that kind of a design and that's His plan that we're walking in? And that's the simple part. In Proverbs 3:7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You don't have the ability, neither do I, no human being does, to make everything beautiful in its time. God has the ability. God knows how to make everything beautiful in its time. So don't be wise in your own eyes. We as humans can't do it. God can. Now, in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. So I turn to the Holy Spirit. When I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, what I'm doing is I'm turning to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then gives me the wisdom, information sometimes if I need information, direction if I need direction, comfort if I need comfort, encouragement if I need encouragement, whatever it is that I need. The Holy Spirit gives it to me, and He gives it to me in an application of truth. In other words, He gives it to me in a way that's real and lasting. Not that's fleeting. It's not a wishful thought. It's truth. And He guides me in truth. That's how I really live. That's how I get eternity in my frame of reference. I don't have the ability to produce eternity in my frame of reference. But the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit, He knows how to make it happen. And when eternity becomes my frame of reference, I don't even try to lean on my own understanding. I understand that God will give me all I need, including thoughts, including understanding, including wisdom. By the way, also including people, including objects, including things, money, what have you, everything that I need is provided to me by God. And He gives it generously. God's not stingy. God is generous. All I have to do in Proverbs 3:5 is acknowledge Him in all my ways. Because eternity is in my frame of reference. Of course I acknowledge Him. It's eternal. By the way, did you know that everything about your life is eternal? You may not realize that all the time, but everything about your life is eternal. Even though you're in time now, that's only where you start. That's not where you finish. The beginning you have is here. Now, we don't know how long you're going to be here, but eventually, and it's true for every human being, we're not going to be here forever. The day will come when you're no longer on earth. Where will you be? If you're saved, you'll be in heaven. Every person who's saved will be in heaven. If you believe in Christ, you're saved. You accept Him as your Savior, you're saved. All there is to it. You're going to be in heaven. But you started here. Now, how long are you going to be here? Well, if you're doing really well, you might be here for 100 years. How long are you going to be in heaven? Forever. Absolutely forever. So this is a drop in the bucket. This is just the beginning. Nothing more. This is just the beginning. You don't want to be wise in your own eyes. You want to live in an eternal viewpoint. How do you do it? How do you live in an eternal viewpoint in the practicality of your life, in the details? Well, Psalm 119:105 says, "The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God gives me wisdom. Because the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and remember, He's living inside of you. It's not like He's gone away. You don't have to ring Him on the telephone. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Word of God, when that enters, He takes it, and He starts using it in your life. He produces faith in your life through the Word of God, by faith in Romans 5:2 you enter into grace, and in Hebrews 4:16 grace is God's government. And so now you have something to govern you. That is to say, now you have a basis for decisions, a basis for understanding, a basis for wisdom, and something on which you can make your choices. And it comes from God, and it'll be eternal, and it's going to become beautiful. No matter what it's toward, no matter what the situation, no matter what people, no matter what's going on, doesn't matter. It will become beautiful. All you need is an eternal frame of reference. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die, and give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.